Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Sankirtan Seminar, Saturday, September 13, 2014, San Diego, California.
I offer my humble obeisances to the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Yeah, sure. And you can put it on the main program, the SOS. Who, only out of compassion, moved to the United States and then to countries all over the world, taking the inconvenience to spread the Krishna consciousness movement everywhere in the world. It's mentioned in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam that Sri Shukadeva Goswami, after being enlightened in the message of the Bhagavatam, moved about the world for only one reason. His feet moved, his hands moved, he spoke only out of motivation for giving mercy to others. And this is the position of those who come to Krishna consciousness. They're no longer moved by the modes of material nature, which force one into inconvenient situations. But when one's heart becomes cleansed by the association of pure devotees, one has a mission to perform. Spiritual life is active. It's a cultivation. And in the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came to dance and distribute the medicine, Nhe Maya, by which people could become cured from the dread disease of lust, anger, greed, which holds them in this material world. He moved, and his associates moved, only out of compassion to give mercy to others. That's how to move in the world. In the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna wants to know from Krishna, what about the sthita prajna? How does he sit? How does he walk? How does he speak? And this is significant because speaking, walking, sitting, they don't stop after one comes to the perfection of life. But they go on for a higher purpose. And for those who are following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, directly aligned under His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, there is a mood and mission. And that mood is compassion, extreme compassion, through which we can overcome all kinds of inconveniences to our own body and senses, for the sake of helping others move forward in Krishna consciousness. And the mission is to unlimitedly expand the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Minus that, all you've got is television. And there are a million channels, and every one of them is stupider than the next. Every one of them gives more anxiety than the next, and simply gives different forms, names, and results to the poor conditioned soul. It's violence. It's feeding poison into the minds and hearts of the living entities. On the other hand, tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yashmin prati shlokam abadyavadyapi namanyanantash yashon kitani yet shrinvanti gayanti grananti sadhavav. Sri Narada Muni says that the Srimad Bhagavatam is of a different creation. It's not from this world. It comes from the spiritual world. And it is meant to create a revolution in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. It is full of the names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the mantras and hymns that actually relieve the conditioned soul of this great burden of material life. So we offer our obeisances to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who showed the way of selfless service, of taking a simple order from his spiritual master and making it his life and soul. And this is the life breath of a devotee, to take the instruction of the spiritual master and make it his or her main focus in life. Everything comes from that. Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana bahusha kahinantashcha buddhayo vyavisayinam. Srila Prabhupada took so much impetus and inspiration from this verse in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, which was given commentary. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that one who fixes his mind, her mind, on the order of the spiritual master then becomes connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's a rope. It pulls you back to the spiritual world. So let's take a look at the mission of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. First, I'll teach you a mantra. Book distribution, please repeat after me. Book distribution, is fun and easy. Book distribution is fun and easy. Now use your hands a little bit. You got to loosen up a little bit. Book distribution is fun and easy. Use your hands. Book distribution is fun and easy. Now, when you walk out of this class and someone comes up to you and grabs you by the arm and says, "What was that guy talking about?" And then you'll say, "Come with us. Book distribution is fun and easy." So I'm first talk about our legacy. This is the Sampradaya. This word Sampradaya means the complete gift. Isn't that wonderful? The complete gift. And it's being passed down to us through those whose hearts are completely clean. They're not interested in exploiting others. They've become full in themselves through the process of Krishna consciousness. And now their only duty in life is to give to others. They're givers, not exploiters. That's the line we come in. And now we have inherited that. We're all sitting here. We're beneficiaries of this greatest gift. We've inherited the gift. And we, our only business now is the most relishable service in the world, which is to simply partake of that gift and give it out to as many people as possible. Who here likes to give gifts? Please raise your hand. There was a survey done a few years ago at university campuses around Christmas time, and they just went around and asked a simple question to the students: which do you like better, giving or receiving? And 99.9% of the people said giving. It's counterintuitive, because in this material world, everyone's thinking, what am I going to get? In fact, in advertising, they say you start your advertising campaign by putting on the top of the page, "you get colon," and then you write down all the things that the people are going to get, because everyone wants to get something. But actually, the process of Krishna consciousness means when you give, when you're a giver and you're pouring out to others the great gift you've been given, that it increases in your life. This is spiritual mathematics. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva, they broke open this storehouse of love of God, and they plundered it. It's, the word in Bengali is lute. Does that sound familiar? Have you ever seen on the news somebody looting? It's the same word, lute. They looted that storehouse of love of God, and they went out and they distributed its contents to everybody. And the more they distributed it, the more the contents increased. So when you give mercy, you get mercy. Sri Advaita Acharya was the great paragon of this compassion as the greatest Vaishnav. His incarnation of Mahavishnu, Sadashiva, together. And in his heart, his pain was that living entities are taking to so many crazy, bogus processes and being misled. It pained him. He couldn't tolerate this. So in his deity worship, he would cry out to his deity, which is a Shalagram Shila, said, "Please, my Lord, come to this world. Only you can rectify the insane situation in Kali Yuga. Absolutely insane. Please come. Please come." And he found a verse in the Shastra that says, if you offer some Tulsi leaves and Ganges water to the Lord, then he sells himself to you. This is who we're working for. Uddhava says, who would surrender to anybody else? Who would work for anybody else other than Krishna? He's the one who, when Putana came to poison him, accepted him as a mother, because he said, well, she came dressed as a mother. Who cares? She tried to kill him. And later on, Brahma in his prayers says, what have you left for the residents of Vrindavan? You've given so much to Putana. You gave yourself to Putana, who came to kill you. Do you have anything left for the residents of Vrindavan? This is Krishna. So Advaita Acharya is praying, Krishna, please come and show the way to how to save the living entities. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advented. We have a whole book about this, the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. One of the reasons that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world was because of the fervent prayers of Advaita Acharya, who invited him to come down. And now he appears, and you can go to that holy spot in Navadvip Dham and dance in ecstasy. It never fails. If you go there, that little place under that tree, and you have a kirtan, you'll immediately feel ecstasy and start to dance. And you'll think, what else can I do in my life but go out and give this to others? This is the special mercy of the Lord when he appears personally in this world as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he had a simple mission. Simple missions pass on everywhere. If it's too complicated, people can't take it. Here's the two parts to our mission. Chant Hare Krishna, teach it to others. Number one is? Number two is? Number one? Number two? Number one? Number two? Number two? Number one? Number one? Number one? Number two? Number one? Number two? So if, I got it. If you walk out of here, I just didn't want you to be able to cheat. If you walk out of here and somebody grabs you by the elbow and says, what was that guy talking about in here? You'll say two things now. Okay, let's do it in unison now. Two things. He grabbed you by the elbow and said, what's that guy talking about in there? You say, book this. Okay, good. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda opened a marketplace. A marketplace, marketing is a very specific science. You know, it's half quantitative reasoning skills and half imagination and psychology. And they came together thinking about all the different ways that they could infiltrate the world with Krishna consciousness. Marketing. They strategized. They thought about it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas specifically for this reason. He didn't care for sannyas. Nobody wanted him to take sannyas. He didn't need to take sannyas. He only did it so that people would come to him and say, what do I do now? And bow down to him. And he would teach him Hare Krishna and tell him to teach others. So his mission, and this is our mission, to spread this Krishna consciousness movement to every town and village. And now here you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates dancing down the street of Miami, Florida. And this is a very beautiful scene that you can see now everywhere in the world. Well, not everywhere. It's still open to us, the many places. So after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, as is the case in many times, a luminary disappears from the world, his movement became hidden for many years until 1891. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the great Acharya, came and revived the Sankirtan movement, and he reopened the marketplace of the holy name at Surabhi Kunj. How many people here have been to Surabhi Kunj? Raise your hand really high and say, like, I went to Surabhi Kunj. This is the place of the great Sankirtan general, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the powerhouse from whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent his great mercy into the world in the form of organizing the Sankirtan movement. He was a visionary who saw this great temple would be built, how people from all over the world would chant together in the streets of Mayapur, Navadvip, those people from Asia, from America, from Australia, from Europe, from Africa. Now it's coming to pass. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his fervent prayers, asked the Lord, please send a ray of Vishnu into my family. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was that ray of Vishnu who illuminated the path of devotional service and innovated so that we could spread it all over the world. And he also predicted that a personality would appear who would take it to all every town and village in the world. And we know that's Srila Prabhupada. Meanwhile, there were these great pure devotees. Despite the fact that the Sankirtan movement had become hidden, there were always pure devotees on the planet keeping the Shuddhanam, the pure holy name, going and teaching the pure teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur arrived, his life was exemplary. He chanted a billion names of Krishna. He took a vow. It took 10 years to chant a billion names of Krishna. Then he had a revelation that he should come out and spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. So he started systematically and he spread the glorious Gaudiya Math all over India. It was so powerful that they were producing 3 magazines a day to distribute to the public. They were making books, and they had infiltrated the intelligentsia of society, And they were spreading the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted more. He wanted it to overflow the banks of India and go into the other countries. And he sent an envoy into London and England, to Burma. And those devotees had a modicum of success, but not very much. But we can see his desire that it go out all over the world. And then Abhay Chaturnadavinda, the disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who seemed like an insignificant householder in the midst of so many luminary sannyasis, took some instruction in a humble way from his spiritual master. And at Radhakund, the highest spot of the Gaudiya attainment, he received this instruction from the spiritual master to print books. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "I see a fire is coming to the mat." That is, they had built these beautiful temples. And now Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur could see that there were many disciples jockeying for position. And that there would be a fire in the mat means that the institution would be very much stressed after he leaves. So he emphasized to his disciple, Abhay Chaturnadavinda, that if you ever get money, print books. And Srila Prabhupada said, "I took up this from his mouth that he is very fond of books." You'll see this is a theme throughout his life. As Prabhupada spread the Krishna consciousness movement, the theme that he was very fond of books, he took it from his spiritual master. When he came to America, Prabhupada immediately, well, of course, he brought books with him. And as I mentioned last night, many people don't know that even a year before Prabhupada arrived in America, his 16 sets of his Srimad Bhagavatam also arrived in America a year before he came, because he sold them to the Library of Congress in New Delhi, and they had distributed them, including to the New York Public Library, a place that Prabhupada, when he first landed in New York, would visit regularly, taking 3 bus transfers, as Brahmananda Prabhu told me, just to visit his books. He said that was Prabhupada's entertainment, to come see his books in the library, the New York Public Library. So Prabhupada had this mission, and he spread it all over the world. He expanded the marketplace. He took up the same mood and method of his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which was following the footsteps of the Goswamis, Anatta Sakta Vishayan Yatarham Upayunjita Nirbanda Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagyamuchite. That everything is the property of the Lord, and everything should be used in order to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. This is our mission. Leave nothing unused to spread Krishna consciousness to people all over the world. And here you can see Prabhupada holding up the Bhagavatam, leading the charge, how to spread this all over the world to the people. Here's the first pamphlet Prabhupada produced to advertise his Srimad Bhagavatam, and he says 60 volumes of elaborate English version. At the time, he only had 3 books, and he's saying 60. This was his intention in his heart. And he says, all over the world for scientific knowledge of God. All over the world, he had no money, he had no connections, nothing. But here he's thinking, this is his mission. He's seeing how these books would go everywhere. Sally Agarwal told the devotees recently that when Prabhupada arrived in Butler, Pennsylvania, and they hosted him at their house, Sally Agarwal and her husband, that he was talking all the time about the Srimad Bhagavatam, how he had brought his Bhagavatam, how he would spread them all over the world. And so Prabhupada passed that on to his disciples. He said, by printing books, we can actually inject our movement into the masses of people of the world. This is not just some sentiment, but it's actually practical. You see, from Thomas Paine, who was one of the early revolutionaries before the American Revolution, had printed an essay and sold it all over the colonies. And practically everyone in the colonies had a copy of his essay. And according to historians, This is what sparked the American Revolution. This is what got people out of their chairs, to move out of their house, to sacrifice their lives, to go out and declare independence, which we're now experiencing here in America. In Cuba, Fidel Castro, in jail, continued to write. The pen is mightier than the sword. He wrote in lime juice because it's invisible on the page, but when it's taken out into the sun, it becomes visible on the page. And he smuggled out his writings with his fiancée, who would reconstitute them and then distribute them to the public. And by the time he came out, there was already revolution fomenting in the society because of his writings. The pen is mightier than the sword. That's why despots in countries all over the world burn books, because they're dangerous to society. Even nowadays, if you go to countries that don't have freedom of speech, for instance, we went to Vietnam not too long ago to get the first Bhagavad Gita in Vietnamese printed. We had to jump through many hoops, but when we got to Vietnam, our host told us, please don't try to distribute any books while you're walking around, because you're being watched already. And if you do, you're going to end up in the police station and maybe even worse. China, same thing. You can't walk around sell books, because when people pick up books and they read them, they come together and they form a little group and they say, you want to come to my house and read this book? And next thing, they call a few more people. Books are powerful because when thoughts are written down, they're codified. And there's a system that people can follow. Living entities will follow it. And when it makes sense and when it resonates in their heart, they'll rise up against tyranny. They'll overthrow governments. It comes from the books, from the books. That's what is the foundation of any society, and that's what makes change in society. That's why Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted books. That's why Srila Prabhupada followed this this instruction of his spiritual master. It's practical. It actually changes society, and it's happening now in the world because of the mass distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. So Prabhupada asked, print as many books in as many languages and distribute throughout the whole world. How many books did he want? Many as possible? And just in one language, right? You got to be a little more enthusiastic. No Vaisheshika Das. He wanted in many languages. See how Prabhupada's thinking. How do you get a book in the first place? Anybody here ever written a book? How many people have written a book? How about a pamphlet? It's hard to write a pamphlet. What to speak of a book? What to speak of 60 books? What to speak of 100 books? What to speak of getting them translated in many languages? What to speak of having them illustrated with the richest paintings we've ever seen in the history of the world when it comes to religious philosophy? How do you do that with no money and no resources and not knowing anybody? How do you do that? This is the greatest miracle that we have. We cannot take it for granted. We've been given freedom in America to walk about and inject this into society. Nobody's stopping us anywhere. And now we have the most powerful books in the world. The Buddhism started with just a little one page. It's a post-it note. That's how Buddhism started, a little post-it note. Somebody went to a lecture and wrote down a few points, and that's all they have. And it's expanded in so many places around the world based on just scanty information. The Bible's a beautiful book, but it's very limited. But we have the Bhagavatam. It's the greatest literature in the world, bar none. There's no other literature in the world that can compare to Bhagavatam, even amongst all the Puranas and the Vedas. We have the Bhagavad Gita, which has been preserved through history. It's the most clear explanation of the world, of karma, the living entity, of God. It shows the way back to Godhead. It's a direct connection with the Supreme Personality of God. We have all these gifts. They were brought to us. This is our legacy. We have to pass it on. We've been requested to pass it on. So Prabhupada said, just like the communists are very expert in distributing their literature, we must print hundreds and thousands of books. How many? Just a few, right? No, Vaisheshika Das, hundreds and thousands of books. Watchtower, they're way ahead of us. The Jehovah's Witness, way ahead of us. They have their own ink. They grow their own plants to bring their own ink. That's how they know what's the power of the written word. and they make their own paper, and they print their own books, and they distribute them all over the world, 239 countries, 595 languages, 46 million copies a month. How many BTGs are we doing? About 3,000 right now. Not very good. Better get it fixed. Holy Bible, 196 countries, the Gideons, 93 languages, 2012, 84.6 million copies were distributed. We can do better. We have to do better. Prabhupada wanted these numbers. He didn't want 3,000. He wanted millions. He wanted hundreds and thousands. He wanted every home to have a Srimad Bhagavatam. Every car, every apartment. Time magazine, printing all kinds of information that doesn't really do much except absorb the mind and speculation. And their circulation is 3 million plus. Our Back to God in magazine, 3,000 copies. Please, we can do more. Prabhupada says, so kindly help me. This is my request. Kindly help me. So I want that all of you my students shall very vigorously work for this book distribution. And Krishna says, there's no servant more dear to me than someone who goes and gives this message to the devotees. And there are devotees everywhere. All the people out there are potential devotees. Shriman Mahaprabhu also pushed us, become a guru. Give up the pettiness of sense gratification. Give up your own selfish motives. Become a guru. Become an instrument for spreading Krishna's mercy all over the world. Now we see a couple of great Sankirtan devotees entering the room. Sarvabhauma was my first teacher of book distribution, Hare Krishna Sarva. Please give him a big hand. He's one of the pioneers of big book distribution in America. Great book distributor. And Gopi Gita, who's now taken the helm at the monthly Sankirtan Festival in Los Angeles, doing a fantastic job. Great to see you here. Hare Krishna. Little more. When you clap, go up to a 7. That's 3. Can you go higher? Try to hit 7. It's a little more. All right. Thank you. The direct order of the Lord is a manifestation of his internal energy, and this particular energy is the means of seeing the Lord face to face. If you get an order, and it doesn't matter who you are, you can be the most inept person in the world. But if you grab the order, you'll connect to the internal potency of the Lord, and this is how you see the Lord face to face. Srila Prabhupada has given this order, kindly help me. All you have to do is help him. And if you help him, you'll connect to the internal potency of the Lord, and you'll see the Lord face to face, guaranteed. It's not what you know, it's who you know and what you are. That's what counts in life. Nobody knows enough. Brahma doesn't know enough. He almost broke his head thinking about things. And then when he bowed down before Krishna, he said, I give up. And everyone should give up. You can't understand him. He's too transcendental to anything we can experience. He said, just surrender to the message. Hear it submissively and take it in. And take the order of the superior coming down through disciplic succession. And you will have all success because of pleasing the superior authority. That's the secret of spiritual life. Not only that, we advocate that by going out to distribute books, to distribute prasadam, to sing the holy names in public as much as possible, you get superior strength and knowledge in Krishna consciousness. Every time you move out of your comfort zone of whatever that is into a realm where you're risking yourself, risking rejection, risking whatever. Not much risk in America, actually. These devotees in Russia, they risked their lives. They were tortured, sometimes to death, for the cause of Krishna consciousness. Here, San Diego, not as much risk. But there is a risk every time we walk out the door to our mind, our ego, what's going to happen to me, how am I going to look? Forget it. Just go out and do it. And Prabhupada said, you will get superior strength and knowledge in Krishna consciousness just by trying. You don't have to be great at it. You don't even have to do anything. You just have to try. And you'll get superior strength and knowledge in Krishna consciousness. I like to say that when you start feeling more comfortable, when you're outside your comfort zone, and you feel less comfortable when you're in your comfort zone, that's the right place to be. So book distribution is a rapid way to make spiritual advancement. And here are the four laws of book distribution. Number one, please read them aloud. Number two. Number three. Number four. So first one is your sadhana must be strong. This is the genesis of the whole Sankirtan movement. The impetus to go out and give this to others is the overflow that we're experiencing. So our sadhana must be strict, serious, and sincere. It is the most relishable frame of mind to organize one's mind and senses in such a way that we have strict, serious, and sincere sadhana. There's nothing as fulfilling as this in life. If you give the senses free roam, do whatever you want, do your sadhana whenever you want, you won't feel satisfied. But if it's unmotivated, uninterrupted service, and it's strict, serious, and sincere, you'll feel so much satisfaction, and you'll feel so proud of yourself. You'll have spiritual integrity, and then you'll have a taste. And there's nothing more powerful than having a taste. And even if you get a mustard seed worth of taste from chanting Hare Krishna, from sitting up straight and listening to the mantra, and not letting the mind drag you away, bringing the mind back, and you hear one mantra, one word, one syllable from the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and it inspires you. That taste is enough to inspire you to convert everyone in the San Diego, what county are we in? Pretty good guess, San Diego County, to Vaishnavas. No, one mustard seed of taste is enough to spread Krishna consciousness all over Southern California. No, all over California. No, all over the United States. No, it'll go further than that. It'll go across the ocean, one mustard seed of taste for chanting Hare Krishna. It'll go into Europe and across Europe, and it'll flood down into Africa, and pretty soon the whole world. One mustard seed of taste is all it takes to inspire the heart of a person to go out and give Krishna consciousness to others with determination. So it has to start with there, because we're distributing the overflow. You can't distribute what you don't have. And people are taking that from you. When they look at your eyes, they see taste. And that's what interests them in the book. So here's one way that you can develop taste. Here's strict, serious, and sincere sadhana. Chant a chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day. At least one chapter takes you 5 to 7 minutes a day. Such power comes from that, doing it every day. Prabhupada said, Bhagavad Gita should be read by all of my students at least one chapter a day. Please encourage the others to read this Bhagavad Gita at least one chapter a day. Join Chad. That's our underground organization. Chapter a day, Chad. Any members in here? Thank you. Anyone can join. You just have to agree that you'll voluntarily chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day. How long does it take you all every day? 5 to 10 minutes. Okay. Anyone's free to join. You just have to agree to chant at least one chapter a day. All the Sanskrit or all the English or the Sanskrit and the English. At least that every day. Is that okay? One chapter. It means like chapter 7, you start at number 1, you end at 30, and you've chanted a whole chapter. 30 verses. You don't have to do the purports to join chat. You'll be attracted to do them after you hear the verses. Okay, he joined. Okay, he'll try. Be a sage page by page. Here's something that we distribute to people to show them how many pages a day you have to read in Prabhupada's books in order to complete each book within a certain amount of time. Did you know that if you read 8 pages a day of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will complete the full 12 cantos in 5 years? If you read 41 pages a day, which doesn't take more than about an hour a day, you will finish the entire 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam in 1 year. How would that change your life, to read the whole Bhagavatam in 1 year, do you suppose? Thank you. We get a Hari Bol on that. So, the first law of book distribution is? Your sadhana must be strong. Please, everyone say. First law of book distribution is? Number two is you must get books. And I teach you a little trick just for number two. In the military, when they asked, when a sergeant asked a private for something, they say, in return, they say, "Sir, yes, sir." Can you all say that?
Sir, yes, sir.
You'd be kicked out of the military. Try it again.
Sir, yes, sir.
You're still kicked out. Try it again.
Sir, yes, sir.
Getting close. So when we talk about this number two, I want you to try it with that same mood, and number two only. You say, I'll say, what is the number two law of book distribution? And you say, get books. Are you ready? What is the number two law of book distribution?
Get books.
Okay, now put a little more into it. Number two is?
Get books.
Nice. So if you walk out of this room today and somebody grabs you by the arm and says, what was the seminar about today? You'll say?
Get books.
Thank you very much. Now here's the reason. You can't distribute books you don't have. I haven't done a Wikipedia search, but, and I don't know if this is one of the laws of thermodynamics, but I think it should be added to the list. You can't distribute books you don't have. It's such a benefit we have to have these books printed for us, and now you simply have to get them. I'll tell you a story about two devotees in Chicago. I presented this get books philosophy, and they got books, put them in their car. They were running a small business together. And they put the box in their car because they said it's the second law of book distribution. And a couple weeks later, there was a program near the temple at the house of a very wealthy man. And during the program, he said, you know, I'd like to have Bhagavad Gita to give to my friend. Does anybody have any? And all the devotees looked around, the 60 devotees, and nobody had any books except these two devotees said, we have some in our car. So they ran out to their car. They brought in the seven Bhagavad Gitas that they had, and the man gave them $1,000. So the next time they picked me up at the airport, I saw the box in the back. I said, oh, good, you got books. And they told me the story. And they say, now wherever we go, we take books with us. When we go to the gas station near Kula and I, coming back from our temple, the Arco station right around the corner from our temple in Silicon Valley, we always have books in the back because we go to that station, and as we're pumping the gas, there's always somebody there that'll take a book. And it changes the entire experience you have in your life if you carry a book with you. I was in New York City with Mitrasena Prabhu at a seminar like this many years ago, and we walked down the street for a break, and he happened to have a Sri Upanishad in his pocket. So we went around the corner, and there was a construction area, and there was a man taking a break, leaning against his dump truck. And he saw us coming around the corner in our dhotis. This is in New York City. And he looks at us and he goes, what are you, Buddha? And I said, not exactly, but here, I'll show you what it is. And Mitra handed me the Sri Upanishad. I showed him the book. It was right after 9/11, and everyone was really shaken up. And I read in the book, the verse from the Sri Upanishad, that one who sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and sees the Supreme Lord within everything, never hates anything or any being. One who sees all living entities as spiritual sparks in quality one with the Lord becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? And when he heard those verses, he said, this is the beautiful philosophy. And I said, it just for a donation. He jumped up in his dump truck and he pulled out a $20 bill and he said, this is all I have. And I said, don't worry, I have change. And I thought, I wonder if I have change. And he came back then, I had $4 bills. And she said, okay, that's all right. And we walked home completely satisfied. If we hadn't have a book, it would have been a completely different experience for him and for us. So you have to get books. Now look at these books. There are books in many different languages, as Prabhupada said, in as many languages. So now we have books right from our BBT in Japanese, in Korean. We have books in Mandarin and Farsi. This is at a Vietnamese mall in San Francisco, in San Jose. I'm sitting down with my Vietnamese friends at a Starbucks. I just sat down with them and started showing them the Vietnamese books, and they end up buying one. And we went around and just showed these books from door to door at the Vietnamese mall, in Vietnamese books, and everyone was very happy to receive them. Here's a Muslim mullah from Afghanistan. And when I met him at a weekend market, I said, Salam alaikum, alaikum salam, marhaba, kif lak, alhamdulillah, Allahu akbar, mabsut. And he said, do you believe Allah? And I said, of course I believe in Allah. He said, do you pray to Allah 6 times a day? I said, 16 times a day. And he came over, he gave me a big hug. He was hugging me. And then I showed him the book in Farsi. He understands Farsi, so I handed him the Farsi book. And he was so excited, he gave a donation. And he wanted to know, where's all the other Farsi books? And he hung around with me for a long time. And now that book is sitting somewhere in Afghanistan. One book can bring down a whole empire, a whole empire influenced by so many crazy people can be overthrown by one book. What to speak of influx of books? We want these books floating out all over the world, going into people's bags. We met Michael Jackson in the airport in Los Angeles one day. And I was with another devotee, and we saw Michael go up the escalator into the mezzanine restaurant, and the devotee said, let's go up and get him. I said, let's wait till he comes down. He said, no, I want to go up and get him. I said, let's wait till he comes down. And the devotee ran up the escalator, and I thought, all right. So I ran up after him. By the time I got up there, he was sitting with Michael in the restaurant, talking to him, and the Bhagavad Gita was on the table. And he gestured to me, the devotee, please sit down. And so we sat down, we talked to him for a while. And then he gave $20 donation and he zipped it up in his little carry-on bag and he took it home. We want to see these books getting zipped into bags and going who knows where. We don't know where they're going to go, but they're going to end up somewhere. They're going to do some major damage. So if you really want to stick it to the man, distribute books because they go all over the world. Yes, so number two is? Okay, number two is? Correct. So number three is the one we always say twice. You don't have to say it like the military way, but we do repeat it twice, and that is, the more you show, the more you sell. Please say. We say this one twice because it's so important. When you get books, all you have to do is show them because the little jiva's wandering around the universe looking for something. He doesn't know what. He's just wandering around. In fact, there's signs in front of the 7-Eleven, in most 7-Elevens, that say, no loitering. You know what living entities are doing in the material world, according to Prabhupada? They're loitering here. There's a big sign on the material world that says, no loitering. And everyone's just hanging around. Like, what do I do now? So people are showing them all kinds of weird stuff, and they're going, all right, I'm just loitering anyway. I might as well try it. But you have to give them the substance, what they're really looking for. And so you have to show them. You have to show them the book. And little jiva, when he sees the book, when he sees the picture of Krishna, when he hears the mantras, the words that are coming from it, he'll be attracted. It's his nature. Everyone's looking for chit. So you see everyone reading on the airplane, on the buses, on the planes, everywhere you go, everyone's reading something because that's what human beings do. They're open to this knowledge that can come in through the senses. So you have to show them the books. And if that's all you do, even if you don't know anything else except to make them more visible, guarantee you you'll sell books. The difference between a Sunday program where you show the sets of Bhagavatams and when you don't show the sets of Bhagavatams is that when you show the sets of Bhagavatams and recommend that people take them, they take them. And when you don't show them, they. So when you show them, they. And when you don't show them, they. See, it's simple like that. That's why this third law is the more you show, the more you sell. Take the trouble to show people. I was with Vijay Prabhu about 5 years ago at the Rath Yatra in Los Angeles. And we're standing behind the booth. And everyone walked up. He goes, you got the Gita? And if they say yes, you go, you need the Bhagavatam. You got the Gita? You need the Bhagavatam. He was doing it hundreds of times. So I say, Vijay, you're going to wear your arm out doing that. And I was thinking, like, I wonder if how is somebody going to buy a Bhagavatam at the Rath Yatra? And so I got busy on the other corner. I came back. The Bhagavatam set was gone. I said, Vijay, where's the Bhagavatam set? He said, I sold it. I So how'd you sell it? He just kept pointing to it. It sits right over here. The more you show, the more you sell. Keep pointing to it. Just hold it up and show people. And little Jeev will go, okay, I'll take it. A certain number of people will say, I'm interested in this, because that's what they're looking for. So number three is? Number two is? Number one is? Okay, number four. Okay, now I'm extending this, the more you show, the more you sell. There's events. Here's the Pumpkin Festival. The devotees from our temple go there and they do thousands of Bhagavad Gitas. And then there's these Diwali festivals. Then there's Shastradan placement, started by your very own Mahatapa Prabhu, and placing books. If you put out smart boxes, now in the Bay Area, we have over 100 smart boxes, 110 smart boxes. Is collecting over $1,000 a month while we sleep. $1,000 a month. And so many people walking into the temple with a book and go, where'd you get that? And they go, at the store. I said, what store? I said, you know, the little box in the store. 110 boxes around the city. You could put 110 boxes anywhere. And, I mean, this could be a livelihood for somebody. Put out 200 boxes and just go collect all the Lakshmi and put in more books. It's pretty simple, but it's an example. If you show the books, people will take them because little Jeev is looking for chit. The more you show, the more you sell. Here's a table downtown Santa Cruz with a blissful devotee standing behind him. Notice how the books are displayed so you can see them from across the street. There's a professional book stand. No filing by piling. Put them up so people can see them. Prabhupada said he wants every respectable gentleman to have a full set of Bhagavatams and Chaitanya Charitamritas. And one of the greatest salesmen in the world, Thomas Hopkins, wrote in his book, whenever you sell, sell in bunches like bananas. Everyone sell. Say, sell in bunches like bananas. Yes, here's the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's a bunch of books together. And if you present the whole Srimad Bhagavatam to people, a certain number of people will... they'll take it. Yeah, that's how simple that is. They'll just take it. The devotees at ISV, Iskand of Silicon Valley, have sold to date about 260 sets of Srimad Bhagavatam, starting at the beginning of the year. How'd they do that? I'll tell you how they didn't do it. They didn't like keep them in the basement. They didn't say, well, probably nobody will buy these, so we won't bring them out. They did not mention it every chance they got. But what they did do is they brought it out of the basement and they just brought it around and they showed people. They went actually and knocked on doors. They said, knock, knock, knock. Person opened the door. We don't know who it is. But if they invite us in, we just bring in the Bhagavatam and say, hey, guess what? This is a good idea. Why don't you take the Bhagavatam? And a certain number of people do. At least 260 people to date who thought it was a great idea. So if you just show the Bhagavatam, they'll take it. And if you don't show the Bhagavatam, they? Simple stuff, right? Okay. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the same thing. Here's us. We barged into somebody's house. They bought a set of Bhagavatams. We set them up on the shelf. We did an installation ceremony. We invaded their home, basically, and they were very happy for it. We had to move all kinds of junk off the shelf. Off that shelf, you see where the red arrow is pointing? That was the only place they had space in their little apartment for the full set of Bhagavatams. I was moving these stupid books off the shelf. I was thinking, who's going to read this junk anyway? There were hairbrushes and all kinds of junk they didn't even know was there. And it's like the anartas in the heart. We don't even know they're there. Until you move Krishna in, then you have to move all the other stuff out. And when you move the Bhagavatam into people's houses, they change. They become devotees. There's one man who bought a Bhagavatam set, and then he said... he was eating dinner one day, and he was a meat eater, and he vomited because he couldn't do it anymore. He started reading the Bhagavatam, and he came to us, and he said, what's happening to me? Now he's a devotee. We're in Tilak. Move the Bhagavatam in. Maya has to go out the other door. Here's a man from the Middle East. Salam Aleikum. He just bought a full set of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita there on the bottom shelf from Shraddha Devi Dasi, who appeared at his door in a sari and tilak on. And I can still see she came from initiation. She still has a black dot on her forehead. Shows up with a Chaitanya Charitamrita. The guy's from the Middle East. He bought the full set of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. How you do that? How you do that? The more you show, the more you sell, right? Yes or yes?
Yes,
Vaisheshika Das. So here's... if you go to this tiny URL, You can listen to how to sell a full set of Srimad Bhagavatam. At the Washington, D.C. temple, one fine Sunday afternoon, we decided we'd show the Srimad Bhagavatam the entire congregation and just present it. And we sold 46 sets of Bhagavatams in 10 minutes. And the recording is there. You can listen to it. People were texting in, buying from every different corner of the universe by the Bhagavatam. Why did they buy the Bhagavatam? Because you took the trouble to bring them out and show them. We lined them up and we said, hey, look at this. Why don't you take it? And they said, okay. You'd be surprised how many people will say okay if you just show them the Bhagavatam. The more you show, the more you sell. Always sell in bunches like? Always sell in bunches like? Yes, so now we put all the books together. All the books, the Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Bhagavad Gita, every book you can name, everything that's in print, plus a Madanga, Kartals, Tilak. I mean, this is the nuclear bomb of of the BBT. It comes with a bookshelf. We throw in the bookshelf. We buy them from IKEA for $75. The whole package comes together for $1,008. Do people take them? Yes, Vaisheshi Gadas. Why do they take them? Because we just showed it to them. We said, how about this? Here's a big package of books. This. Would you like one? And a certain number of people say, I'll take it. In Dallas, Texas, they picked this up, this idea. Now they've sold 40 sets. You know how much that is? $40,000. Why? Because they just took the trouble to show it. Because the more you show, correct. So it turns the house into a sacred place. Look at all that stuff they get. This is from the spiritual world. And now Motel Gita, another way to show books. The more you show, the more you sell. One devotee thought up this idea. Mayapur Bihari Prabhu came to me one day a few years ago and said, I got this idea. I'd like to put Bhagavad Gitas in all the motels. I said, please do it as fast as possible. And now within a few years, 200,000 copies of Bhagavad Gita are sitting in motels all around America. And here's the power of that. Some devotees, we were just in Baltimore, and one nice family came up to us, and the daughter in the family told us a story. She and her father went to a motel, and they told the owner, who was Indian, 65% of the owners are Indian, which is a big sign that we should be doing this, that please take these Bhagavad Gitas. And he said, no, I'm not so interested. No thanks. And they said, can we leave a few with you in the lobby on the desk? And he says, okay, whatever you want to do. So then 2 weeks later, the man called them back and said, I want Bhagavad Gita for every room in my home motel. And she said, is this the same guy? He said, yes, same guy. He said, what happened to you? And then he told the story. One night after they had left the books there, a man walked into the motel very agitated, checked in, and he picked up one of the Gitas, went to his room. Next morning he came back and he said, where'd you get this book? He said, some people brought it by and they left it. He said, can I keep it? He said, yes. He said, this book saved my life. I came here to commit suicide last night. I was so distraught with my life, and I picked up this book in the drawer and it saved my life. I've decided to live again because I read this book. So the motel owner called the devotees back and they said, give me these books. Get them in here as fast as possible. So any way you show them, you will be successful, because living entities are looking for Krishna everywhere in the universe and just not finding him. And this is the mobile way to introduce them to Krishna. Number four is, you must organize. You can do a little bit of book distribution on your own or in your community. If you don't think about it much, a few devotees will go out here and there and do a couple books. But if you organize and you make incremental improvements, you can create an empire. All the great companies in the world, if you read the book From Good to Great, you'll find out many of them started from just a small idea in somebody's heart. You know, Hewlett-Packard, Apple. Apple started in somebody's garage. Steve Wozniak, Steve Jobs, they got together. They had this ambition. They started in Steve Jobs' garage, packaging, starting to get things out. They brainstormed. They then made incremental improvements. More people joined the company, and now it's the largest, most profitable corporation in the world. I don't know if that's true, but it's close. And then there's the Hewlett-Packard garage. This is our legacy. The whole Krishna conscious movement started in a little room in Radha-Damodar. Prabhupada sat in that little dusty room in Radha-Damodar and he was thinking how to spread this all over the world. So if you live in a little tiny apartment somewhere and you get together with your husband or your wife and your kids, you sit around the dinner table and you say, okay, now we're going to brainstorm how we're going to organize our book distribution. And you write it down on paper and you make a goal. This is organization. It's as simple as that. You'll incrementally improve until somebody's going to say, how'd you do that? It's amazing what you're doing. It's through the power of organization. And all you have to do is come together and brainstorm. We did this in Washington, D.C. They were doing 5,000 books a year. And we sat down with the temple president and all the leaders of the temple and the Sankirtan devotees in a little trailer on the property in Potomac, Maryland. And we put up a whiteboard, a big whiteboard. And for 1 hour, we brainstormed and we said, how many ideas can we come up with to increase book distribution? We came up with 46 ideas. It filled the whole board. And we said, what are the top 7 ideas? And we put them in a line. And they said, how fast can we implement these? And they delegated to people to implement them. And you know what? 3 years later, they distributed about 70,000 books. From 5,000 to 70,000 books. Why? Because of the power of organization. You can do that in your own life. You can do that in your own household. You can do that in your temple. You just have to come together and brainstorm and write down the ideas and then say, who's going to do what? And then the next month you come together and you say, did we improve? And this is the ABS principle called always better service. You always have to come together and say, are we better than we were last time? My Madanga teacher always says, when you come back, you just have to be better than before. Don't come back the same. Come back better than you were before. And that's, we always have to be moving ahead. So you have to organize. Prabhupada said, with a view towards achieving the aforementioned purposes of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books, and other writings. He was organizing from the very beginning with the 7 principles of ISKCON and many other ideas he had. You have to put it on the calendar. If you're going to have a monthly Sankirtan festival, that is all the devotees going out at least once a month to just try to give mercy to other people, you have to put it on the calendar in advance, because in ISKCON these days there are so many competing events. Unless you declare this your priority at least one time a month, you'll be your program will be decimated from every side because of other priorities. So this is part of organization. And then goals are so potent. If you set a goal to distribute a certain number of books and you agree amongst your group and then you set about it, it's like flipping a switch. All the energies will flow into your organization, into your family, into your own life if you do it individually just by setting the goal. We did it in North America several years ago. We made a proposal to the North American GBC and temple presidents that let's have a collective goal for the entire country. The first one was let's increase by 20%. What happened? We increased by 26.5%. The next year we said let's do another 20%. And the devotees all came together and they did 28% increase over what they did the year before. This year we set another goal, increase by 10% plus distribute at least 1,500 sets of Bhagavatams and at least 500 sets of Sri Chaitanya Charitamritas. And we're well on the way to doing that again this year. If we hadn't set the goal, we would have stayed as flat as a board as we had been for the last 5-6 years. So here's a look at the growth over the last few years in the BBT, just because of setting goals and organizing. Organizing means you better have a nice book room, no matter where you live. Even if it's a small book room, it should be organized. I always say that the book room should be treated as a sacred place just as much as the pujari room. These books are sacred. These are our deities. In Toronto, they have such a pristine book room, you can't wear shoes in the book room. Park your shoes outside. They have a little puja area where they do artik to the books inside the book room. They have somebody in there organizing, making sure everything's meticulously organized. How do you think the devotees feel about taking those books out on the street and handing them into somebody's, putting them in somebody's possession? They feel this is a sacred deity. It's a sacred service. Organize. use all the modern technology. You got to keep track of your scores. You have to keep track of the Lakshmi you collect. Don't throw it in a paper bag and leave it in a van somewhere. Make sure you know what you're doing. Make sure you report your scores. Run it like a business, not like a hobby. There's all kinds of electronic devices that you can, for instance, you can take donations from the square. Is there any reason on earth not to have a square? It's free. Any reason on earth not to have a square? When you go up to somebody and you say, we just take a donation, they say, so I don't have any cash. We say, great, we don't take cash. We take MasterCard, Visa, American Express, Carte Blanche, and Diners Club. And when you pull it out, they'll just swipe it. And be ready. Use all these technologies. Report to the Sankirtan newsletter. Make sure you're getting in there. So we have the four laws of book distribution, which are? Number two. No, that's not number two. Number two is? Number three is? And that's one we always say twice. And number four? You must organize. Okay, now, monthly Sankirtan Festival, this has been going on since 2007. We started doing this, and now temples all over the world are doing at least one day, and it can be a weekend, a month, organized so everybody can go out together and give some mercy to people in the form of books, prasadam, in the holy name. It requires teamwork. You work together, and a fun, organized outing which involves everyone in sharing Krishna's mercy. There's a recipe for this. One first is decide you're going to do it. Next is set some goals and then just start. And our first goal is to touch the pavement. Today when we go out, that's all we're going to do. So don't worry about any results or anything, because the hardest part of the monthly Sankirtan Festival is troop movement. Getting all the devotees from one place to another. And plus getting over the mental thing of like, am I going out? What's going to happen? I'm going to be expected to do something. You're not expected to do anything. All we're going to do is get out of this one area and move into another area as if we're making a maneuver for a military strike. But we're just going to touch the pavement, and when we get there, we're all going to touch the pavement and we're going to say, okay, we're done for the day. How's that sound for a goal? Is that all right? Okay. So here's a few mantras that we use for the monthly Sankirtan Festival. Book distribution is high sadhana. It's sadhana. We're going out for the sadhana of doing this, because when you go out, you'll become purified. Number two is always better service. Always looking for ways to improve. Write down the mistakes we make. Today, when we go out, there's going to be all kinds of gaps. And that we want that. We want to see where they are and write them down. So the next time you go out, you close some of the gaps. That's always better service. And the third is a lot of devotees each doing a little bit. We don't depend on any one person, but everyone working together, doing whatever little part they can as a team. We don't even report individual scores. We do one team score for the monthly Sankirtan Festival, so everyone feels part of it. So make it fun. Use teamwork. Always create a fresh challenge every month. Something you're shooting for that's fresh. It doesn't always have to be numbers. Encourage the heck out of people. Everyone you meet, encourage the heck out of them. Empower people. When you see somebody come forward that has a little talent, a little impetus, put them in charge of something. Let them be the leader of that, and you'll see they'll excel. This is the way to let people expand their service and make it fun. These are some pictures of the monthly Sankirtan Festival in Toronto, Canada. They have so much fun going out together, and they're doing so many books. A sample, Monday morning program, breakfast, a little bit of training. Everyone goes out for Sankirtan, and we come back and meet together and hear nectar stories. That sounds fun and easy to me. So start small and then grow. And now I'm going to teach you a method for distributing a Bhagavad Gita that is infallible. And once you learn this method, then you'll be able to distribute a Bhagavad Gita to anyone, anywhere, at any time, absolutely guaranteed, I promise you, or your money back from this seminar. So tips and ideas to ponder first. Here's a few principles in book distribution that will serve you well for the rest of your life. Are you ready?
Yes.
First is, pick the ripe fruits. When you go out to pick fruits on the tree, which ones do you pick first? Okay, so when you go out on Sankirtan, you look for people who are open, who are already ripe. They're open to your message. They want to talk to you. So here's a picture of a ripe fruit. One on the, with his hand up, like it was New York Rathiyatra, very friendly fellow, bought a Bhagavad Gita, gave $20. Ripe fruit. You agree? Okay. Here's an unripe fruit on the right. Poor Brahmachari there had to listen to him for about a half hour as he was telling him the gospel of the Bible in very uncompromising terms. And so there you have the body language of unripe, and that is? This is? This is? This is? This is? This is? This is? Okay, you got it? So that's who you're looking for. And if the fruit is not ripe yet, what do? You grab onto the fruit on the tree and you drag the whole branch down, right? Is that what you do? When the peach is on the tree and it's so stuck on there, you can't get it off, you break the branch off, right? Right? No, Vaisheshika Das, wrong. You leave it on the tree because it gets cooked by the sun. So that's why we sing this song. Samsara Dhavana Lalita Loka. People are being cooked in the material universe. They can't take a book right now. Leave them on the tree. They'll get cooked a little more. You come back later. They'll be ripe. Okay, so the other one is the 80-20 rule, which means 80% you know your realm, where you're going to distribute and everything, and you get used to it. But take 20% to experiment with new things. Don't always do the same thing. Innovate 20% of the time and try things that you've never done before. Join the North American Sankirtan Leaders Team if you haven't already. You can visit distributebooks.com or ISKCON Book Distribution. Fanthespark.com has a section on book distribution. And our prime directive as we go out is to leave everyone with a good impression. What's our prime directive? So we're in the service business. We're going out to serve other living entities. Here's Krishna washing the feet of Sudama Brahman. He served the members of the Rajasuya sacrifice. He washed everyone's feet. Krishna shows the example of this mood. When we go out, we're serving people. Our motto is, we are Krishna's instruments. What are we? And always remain humble and hungry. Go out for self-purification and keep this mood that we're doing service for service sake. That's Damodar distributing a book through the second story window. He climbed up on the air conditioning duct because the man was waving from there, so he risked life and limb. I save one soul at a time, beginning with myself. When you're on the airplane, they ask you to put your mask on first before you save your little kid with the oxygen. Leave everyone with good impression. Treat people with respect. Respect people because they're living entities. Offer kind words. Focus on teamwork. And develop the habit of expressing sincere gratitude and thanks to the people you meet, live with, and associate with. How's that? Preaching means giving. Don't be condescending. Express empathy. Practice reflective listening. Make people feel special they are. If you go out today and you just imagine that everyone has a sign around their neck that says, make me feel special, and you interact with them in that way, you'll be right in the right zone. Prabhupada was an ambassador of goodwill, and we're to follow in his footsteps. So here's how to present a Bhagavad Gita as it is. First of all, use radar. Second of all, qualify people. Third, trust the hand. Fourth, give a nutshell presentation. Show and tell, compliment, use some humor, and then engage them. So first of all, radar. Radar, anybody here ever get hit by a radar gun when you're driving? You did, sorry about that. So they can tell how fast you're going by shooting a little ray at you. And you can tell whether a person's a ripe or unripe fruit by shooting a little ray of your energy at them. You're a viable living entity. You have energies coming out of you. And you can use those energies as radar to make a conscious contact with other living entities and see if they're ripe or unripe. You want to see how to do it? But not very much? I want to see it now, please. Okay, hold up your hand. Point it towards somebody, not me. I can't handle all the rays. Hold it towards somebody. Okay, now activate the ray by saying the following mantra. Are you ready? One, two, three. Hi.
Hi.
Now look around the person you shot with your ray. Are they smiling at you? Are they smiling? Yeah, because they're ripe fruits. When you shoot somebody with your ray like this, you go, hi. If they're a ripe fruit, they'll go, hi. If they're not a ripe fruit, what are they going to do? They'll just ignore you. It'll just bounce right off them. And you go, okay, they're not a ripe fruit. Do you have to chase them down the street? Do you have to convince them? Do you have to, like, follow them in a helicopter? Let them go. They're not a ripe fruit. It's not our philosophy. Pick the ripe fruits, and you can identify them with your radar. Just say hi. If they say hi to you, they're ripe fruit. Now you can qualify them. One way to qualify people is making a common connection with them. So if you notice something about them, if you look around and you can see people walking down the street, you'll see they wear things. They have, get a bucket of water. You can put it. No, just kidding. You'll see somebody like, I see your shirt. What is your name?
Suneet.
So I see Suneet's shirt and I say, hey, Gopal. You know, if he's walking down the street and I don't know Suneet, but I see the shirt and I say, hey, Gopal, what's he going to do if he's a ripe fruit? He'll smile and there'll be like this connection. What if someone's wearing a University of San Diego shirt? What do you say?
Go Aztecs.
Go Aztecs. Outright Aztec. University of San Diego. All you have to do is repeat what's already on their body. If they have a tattoo and it says what? What? Namaste. And you go, all right, namaste. You notice something about them. You make this connection with them. And then ask a question, which is, what I say to people is, say, I'm from San Francisco. Where are you from? Now they answer, Adiguru will say, Chula Vista, right? I'm from San Francisco. Where are you from? Chula Vista. Perfect. Whatever they said was perfect. Because as soon as they say where they're from, I say, great. And my body language is saying, great, you qualify. Now I'm going to show you a book. So now you trust the hand. May I have a Bhagavad Gita? Someone bring me one. So now you hand the book over, put it in somebody's hand. Thank you very much. And you see how that works? She handed it to me. I grabbed it. That's what hands do. That's what they're built for. Ears listen, eyes see, and the hand grabs. So learn how to hand the book over to people and say, you're going to show this to them. And even if their mind says no, their hand will oftentimes grab it anyway because it has a mind of its own. So as I'm handing the book over, I'll say, this is just one mantra. There's many, but this is the one I'm going to teach you today. Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress. Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress. So I'm handing the book over, and as I'm handing it, I'm saying the mantra. The book has an arc as it's traveling from my hand to their hand, and as it touches the hand, it says, books on yoga and meditation shows you how to get free from stress, and they grab the book. And then I say, you've heard of stress before, right? Now, the thing is, questions are the answer because a question, make a question mark in the air. It's a hook. It's the most powerful punctuation mark in the English language or any other language, because when you ask a question, you're leading the conversation and somebody has to give you an answer. So ask a lot of questions. So here's the first question I ask them, which controls the conversation, which is, you've heard of stress before, right? Now they have to answer. So they say, yeah, they usually say yes, but it doesn't matter. They can say yes or no, and the presentation will still work. So they'll say, yeah, I've heard of stress. Then I say, really, you don't look stressed. You look spiritual. And I'll notice their eyes. It'll say, yeah, you can say you look spiritual, or I can say your eyes look spiritual. When it's a woman talking to a man or a man talking to a woman, don't use the eye thing for some reason that it's too personal. But you can say, you look spiritual. So really, you don't look stressed. You look spiritual. And then here comes the big question. What's your secret? This is a very powerful question to ask people. Say, what's your secret? Now you're changing your relationship with them. No longer are you the condescending, Bible-thumping person who's trying to convert them, but you've become their disciple, and you're saying, what's your secret? How'd you get so spiritual like this? You want advice from them. It changes the relationship. Now they open their heart, and they'll tell you their secret. If they're in the mode of ignorance, they'll say, I smoke marijuana. If they're in the mode of passion, they'll say, I just work really hard. In the mode of goodness, they'll say, I do yoga, something like that. And if, you know, they can't think of anything really quickly, they'll say, I don't know. And they say, well, you must just come from a good family. And most of the time, they'll say yes. And if they say no, I come from a really lousy family, then I'll say, you must just be a natural. And they say, I guess so. But one way or another, get the secret out of them, because now you're going to take it back really quick, and you say, I'll show you. Here, I'll show you really quick. What are we going to do? We're going to? And how fast are we going to do it? Because their mind is thinking, when's this going to be over? Is this going to be a whole sermon? Does this guy, is a van he's going to throw me into or whatever? They want to know really quick. So you use these words. Okay, I'm going to show you really quick. And you move fast, because that's all you have time for. And you don't say sell, give, anything like that. I'm just going to show. It's an innocuous word. It's not going to hurt anybody. Okay, on the back of the cover, you can bring up a few names that are actually printed on the cover, and you can bring up a few names that aren't printed on the back cover. Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Albert Einstein, the Beatles. Please say the list. If you just say those names like you're throwing them out in little pieces of paper out of a hat, and then I open the book and I say, this book is originally written in Sanskrit. Here, can you read this? And they say, no. I say, I was just testing you. It's been translated into English over 500 times, and this particular version has become the most popular academically. And then I show them Georgetown University, USC, and I just ask them, have you heard of Georgetown, USC? And I show them in the front of the book. You'll see it's right here, okay? Then the next thing is I turn to the pictures. So these pictures are what really sell the book. And the first picture is called Changing Bodies. And you got to get used to where these are in the book so you can turn to it really fast. And I hold it like this for them to see. And I say, look, we start here. We end up here. We're just passing through. And I ask them, where are you in this? And they'll point to somewhere along the line, usually around right here, sometimes here. And then I turn to the next page. And I say, look at a self-realized person treats everyone with respect because he or she sees God's within everyone's heart. Or you can turn to the horses and you say, the horses represent the senses which pull us in various directions. But the first benefit of yoga is you can control your own destiny, go in your own direction. Then we ask them, you've heard of karma before, right? And they say, mostly they say yes. It's very rare somebody says no. And then I say, what does it mean to you? Now here comes an exciting part, because as soon as they tell you what it means to them, you wind up and you go, whoa, what a great explanation. If more people thought like you in the world, it would be a better place to live. Are you ready for that? Yes? Okay. So you ask me, if I've heard of karma before, right? Ask me. Yeah? Say, what does it mean to you? Well, you know, what goes around comes around and stuff like that. And you go, I really like the way you put things. If more people thought like you, it'd be a better world to live in. Okay, I'll ask you. You've heard of karma before, right? What does it mean to you? Whoa! I love the way you put things. If more people thought like you in the world, this would be a better place to live. Even sometimes, we were just, when we were on the East Coast, we were distributing with some devotees, and this one lady, she said, I'm a Christian, I don't believe in karma. I said, yeah, but what does it mean to you? She goes, I don't know, it means to somebody, some people, it means, you know, like if you do something, it'll come back to you and say, whoa, I really like the way you think, the way you put things. If more people thought like you did, it'd be a better world to live. And she absorbed it all. So this is a point of your presentation where you need to ramp up the energy and give them a compliment and appreciate that they had some idea of what karma is. And you can put a lot into this, and it'll bring you into the finish line, which is coming up. So then I show them this picture, the man with a cow's head, cow with a man's head. And I say, yeah, violence breeds violence. Generosity breeds generosity. Then I ask them, so what do you do professionally? Everyone say that, please. Yeah, what do you do professionally? And they say, I'm a civil engineer, I'm a Sunday school teacher, I'm a dancer. So I say, really? And I turn to this picture and I say, this guy used to be a civil engineer. And I turn to this picture. This guy used to be a Sunday school teacher. This guy was a dancer. And then they laugh 50% of the time. And the other 50% of the time they say, really? And I say, no, not really. And then they go, ha, 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 ha. And just as they're laughing, I hand the book back to them. And as I hand the book back to them, I say, we don't sell these. And I'm saying, we don't sell these as I'm handing it back. Because still in their mind, they're thinking like, okay, what's this? What do I got to do? And so the mantra, we don't sell these. And as they grab the book, like in a store, as they take the book, I say that we just take a donation. And then I say, we don't need the money. Now they're already holding the book. I say, we don't need the money. The only reason we ask is, when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it's an ancient tradition, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down and allows you to enter into the knowledge. So when people ask, what's the money for? I say, oh, no, no, we don't need the money. This is a tradition. When you give something for ancient scripture and it connects you to the scripture, it allows you the quality, it's a sacrifice you make so that you can read the scripture. It's a very safe way to present the donation, and it's absolutely true. That's why we're asking people to give. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, don't teach this to people who are not devoted or austere. So why are we going around giving them to so many people then? Well, when you ask for the donation, it's an austerity for them. And you can tell by the look on their face oftentimes. You give a donation, they're like... And then when they give, it's a devotion. So it qualifies them to read the book. So you can tell them it costs about $10 to print and ship. Anything you give it over that is a donation. And then after you take the donation, you say, do you believe in the power of prayer? Do we have a mantra card? May I have one? Okay, someone go get a mantra card. We'll need them for the next step. So do you believe in the power of prayer, everybody? Yes. Okay, so I'm going to teach you a beautiful prayer in Sanskrit. It's meant to wake up love for God in your heart. And it's a little hard to pronounce, so I'm going to say it once so you can know how to do it. Are you ready?
Yes.
And that's just how I do it, because at any time their mind can say, no, I'm not interested. Are you ready? And then I say, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama.
Hare Hare. And then you congratulate them for chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is very powerful. Most of the people will chant. Sometimes somebody's about to chant, and then their wife or the husband grabs them by the arm and said, Larry, don't do it. And I'm thinking, you're darn right, don't do it. You're going to be finished if you chant this mantra. She knows. You chant this. Life as you know it is over. How does she know that? You know? And the next day when I'm chanting, I'm thinking, yeah, there's something in this mantra that's very dangerous. It'll wipe out your life as you know it here in the material world. So you get great experience letting people chant the mantra, and they're getting the complete benefit of Namabhas, because they're not chanting for any benefit for themselves. They're just doing it because you asked them to do it. Prasadam. Always take prasadam with you. Keep it in your bag. Keep it in your car. Wherever you go, when you go through a toll booth, give them prasadam. When you go to the store to buy something, give them prasadam. When you see any opportunity, have prasadam in your pocket, pull it out and give it people. There's no earthly reason why not to take prasadam with you and distribute it wherever you go. And the same goes when you go on book distribution, have prasadam with you and hand it over. It's our secret weapon. Krishna tastes it, it becomes transcendental, they take it, they get the eternal benefit of eating some very nice lollipop or a cookie or something like that. And then get their information and thank them for taking their valuable time and tell them it's been a pleasure meeting you. Can you see who that is? No, can you see who's in the doorway? Who's got the book? Can't see from there? Okay. Our prime directive is? And so there's a few ingredients for the MSF. We have all those things today. And we're going to go out just to touch the pavement. And now we're going to have a brief training session, and the steps that I showed you, I'm going to demonstrate one time, and we're going to stand up in two lines facing each other. We have Bhagavad Gita's for half of the devotees, so on one side you'll have a Bhagavad Gita in your hand, on the other side you'll be empty-handed in these two equal lines facing each other. And then we're going to go through the various steps, starting with radar, and then trust the hand, qualify, trust the hand, and then tell the mantra, and then ask him for the donation and so forth, show and tell. And then you'll switch sides and you'll go back the other way. And part of the test will be, when we stand up, is to see how fast you can organize yourself into two equal lines facing each other with Bhagavad Gita's in the hands of everybody on one side. Because you're going to work together as a team. And the record so far came when we were in Baltimore, and they organized themselves with about the same number of people in a room in about 91 seconds. So think about it. You have to, with whatever resources you have to, not yet, you have to all work together, stand up, and two lines that'll start there and go towards the back of the room, so you're facing each other, and we're going to go through this exercise. Are there any questions before we go into the exercise section? Yes.
So
oh, there's a microphone. Can somebody pass it to him, please? If somebody says...
They say, you're saying, like, well, I don't want to... like, we don't need a donation or something, right?
Say, we don't need the money, but...
We don't need the money.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, and then just walk away.
Be prepared to give it away if you're going to say that. Don't take it back again. But in my own experience in distributing books over the years, I found that when you allow people to give on their own and you give a good presentation, I always come up with way more than I need to cover the cost of the books and more. And it's rare that somebody will actually keep the book. Most of the time they'll say, oh, no, why don't you give it to somebody else that it can pay for it? They'll say something like that. Very rare someone says, okay, you don't need the money, I'm just going to keep it. But if they do, and you know they want to keep it, then I keep my word. I let them have it. But it's very rare. But the point is, when you release people and you allow them to give on their own, that and they give voluntarily, it's very powerful. Any other questions? Do we have Bhagavad Gita's in the room? Okay, so we're going to stand up and, thank you, and to line up, I'll time you and see if you can beat the devotees, and don't hurt anybody. On your mark, get set, go. Two lines facing each other. Everyone has a partner. One side has books. You got to have two lines facing each other. 30 seconds. Everyone's got to have a partner. On one side, everyone's got to have a book. Yeah? Oh. Maybe. Yeah. 10. 9, 8, 7. Everyone on one side has a book. Everyone on the other side is empty-handed. 6, 5, 4. Raise your hand if when you're in place. 3, 2. Congratulations, you just beat the world's record. Give yourselves a hand. That's a good sign that this is going to be a powerful team. Okay, so now there's several steps. One is, if you can make a little more space between the lines, just back up a little bit. Okay, one thing is, don't telegraph that you're distributing books when you're out, because what many people do is they, is when they're walking along and distributing books, they're holding the book out like this, and they're getting ready for the person to come along, and they're like ready to pounce on the book in their hands, right? So the people are
the people are aware of the fact that you're holding a book, you're anxious and all that kind of stuff. So the body language is, if you're going to hold a book, put it under your arm and stand like this. Lean back. Everyone lean back. Get the book out of your hand. Out of your hands, under your arm, just like this. And lean back, nice and casual. Hi. Try it. Hi. See, you're casual. You don't have to chase anybody because you're looking for ripe fruits. Ripe fruits come off in your hand. They'll come right to you, right? So you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to chase them. If they're going to come to you, fine. And it's a very attractive, it's non-threatening. No chasing, okay? So that's the first thing. Now I'm going to go through it one more time so you can see it in live action. And then you'll have an idea. And then you can go through and try it yourself and make your own mistakes. When you're working with your partner, don't create obstacles. Those will come on their own. For this, just do it naturally and cooperate with everything that they do so that they can go through and get their repetitions in. Don't say, I don't have any money, I'm going to call the cops, or whatever you're going to do. Just go through it, be friendly and cooperative, okay? Now I'm going to do it one time with Yudhishthira Prabhu so you can see kind of an action, and then you'll do it yourself. I'm standing back here, and he's walking along, and I say, hi.
Hi.
Are you from San Francisco? Where are you from?
San Diego.
San Diego, fantastic. I'll show you one too. Books on yoga and meditation shows you how to get free from stress. You've heard of stress before, right?
Oh, yeah.
But you don't look stressed. You look very spiritual. Your eyes look balanced. What's your secret?
I surf.
It really shows. So you're in nature a lot.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
I love nature.
I knew it. Here, I'll show you really quick. Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Albert Einstein, the Beatles, they all read this book. And here, look, it's written in Sanskrit. Can you read that?
No.
Just testing it. It's been translated over 500 times. This has become the most popular edition academically. You've heard of USC? Georgetown University? Yeah, here it is in a nutshell. We all start here, and we end up here. We're just passing through. Where are you in all this? You look more like you're over here. And look at, and now turning to the next page of the self-realized soul, I say, look, self-realized person treats everyone with respect because he or she sees that there's a spirit in everyone's heart. And you've heard of karma before, right? What does it mean to you?
Whatever you put out, you get back.
Whoa, I really like the way you put things. If more people thought like you, it would be a better world to live in. Look at this is it graphically. Man with a cow's head, cow with a man's head. Violence breeds violence. Generosity breeds generosity. What do you do professionally? Mechanical engineer. That's unbelievable. Look, this guy used to be a mechanical engineer. No, not really. I'm just kidding. We don't sell these like in a bookstore. We just take a donation. We don't need the money. It's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers. It allows you to enter into the knowledge. Just give what you can. Well, after printing and shipping and storage, they cost us around 10. And anything you give over $10 is a donation. It goes to help us around the world. Okay, I'll take 5. Now, thank you. Now he's handing over the money. I've got that. And then I say, do you believe in the power of prayer?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'll teach you this beautiful prayer from Sanskrit. It's meant to wake up love for God in your heart. It's a little hard to pronounce, so I'll say it once and you can repeat. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna
Krishna. Krishna
Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Excelente. You're a natural. Okay, and now and if you'd like, we can put you on a mailing list. If you meet somebody who's very friendly, make sure you have a pen and you have a little book or something or an electronic device to take down their information so you don't miss them. And then thank them at the very end for taking their valuable time and you're ready to go. Any questions? Are you all ready?
Yes.
Okay, so somebody can, one person can grab mantra cards.
And
hand them to to everybody on this side. And meanwhile, everyone on this side, whose book did I take? Okay, everyone's got a book. Now, lean back, get the book out of your hand, relax. And when you say, and then you can start with hi, and then go through your mantras. Now, on this side, if they forget something, remind them so they can go through the repetition. And go through as smoothly and quick as you can. Don't innovate. Don't add anything. Just do the repetition one time. Are you ready?
Yes.
On your mark, get set, distribute.
Sankirtan seminar continued.
Important to, on your own time, go through the book and learn where the pages are, because when you're doing the presentation, if you're used to where it is and you can turn to it really quickly, it won't slow you down. Because oftentimes, if you take too long to find something, you'll lose your train of thought, and also the other person will get impatient and sort of change the subject and move on. So practice a little bit going over yourself. This is here, this is here, this is here. You can turn really fast to all the pictures and all the plates and things like that. The next very general principle is to honor objections. When somebody gives an objection of any kind, you honor the objection. It's like in martial arts, like Aikido, you don't block the energy, but you use it and you redirect it in another way. So let's see, as an example of objections, did you bring up some? If some people say what? I'm in a hurry?
Yeah, a lot of people, I always get, oh, no, thank you, I'm in a hurry.
Okay, so now one technique of communication is to clarify with questions. There's a lot in the communication. It's another part of the seminar, which we don't have time for today, but I'll just say that if you use questions, it tends to help slow the whole thing down and clarify what's happening. So, for instance, if someone says, I'm in a hurry, if you want to keep going with that, and if you don't want to just let them go, it depends how they say I'm in a hurry. If they say I'm in a big hurry, I just let them go usually. But if you still think there's a chance, then you ask them a question. They say, I'm in a hurry. You say, are you in a big hurry? Then they say, yeah, I'm in a big hurry. Do you want me to show you really fast? And if they say yes, then you can show them really fast. And if they don't, they're in a hurry. Let them go. They're not a ripe fruit. They're not open right now. What's another objection? I'm a Muslim. So I honor that. I don't say, no, this is good for Muslims. Take it. As soon as they say, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Christian, I'm a whatever it is, and you see the sign of rejection coming out, they're handing the book back, I agree with them. I honor their objection. Oh, I'm sorry. I take the book back and I give them the Muslim book. I take the book back, I give them the Buddha book. So I hand them the Bhagavad Gita, and they say, oh, no, I'm a Muslim. And they hand it back. They say, oh, I'm sorry. Salaam alaikum. And I take out Shriyash Upanishad, and I hand them the Shriyash Upanishad instead. Or whatever it is, whatever the objection is, I hand them the next one. Yes?
I've actually read a couple books of Muslims, and one thing I've pointed out to them, it's not religion, it's only philosophy.
Not religion, just philosophy. Yes, that helps. And changing the way I present, as soon as I know what their frame of reference is, I can use certain nomenclature. Like, you know, when I'm presenting to a Muslim, I say, Allah is within everyone's heart, and the purpose of life, develop love for Allah. Nowadays, people are being preoccupied by so many material things, they've forgotten Allah. So we're teaching people that to come back to this. And so please give a donation. And they're happy to help. It just, they need to package it in their own frame of reference. So when they object to something, what is another objection? I'm not spiritual, I don't believe in is a perfect. Like we were at the airport in Los Angeles. I was with Naveen and Nirita. We were leaving from the BBT meeting together. We had books in our bag in the airport terminal, and there were these three Sikh gentlemen, young people, and they looked like they were in Los Angeles to have fun. So I showed him the book, and the man said, no, I don't believe in spirituality. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I took the book back, said, here's for non-spiritual people. And I handed him another book, and he bought it. I don't remember. It was just a different book. It doesn't matter. It's just like their mind rejects it. Once the mind rejects it, you can't keep forcing it on them. You have to take it back, give them something else. I had a man in Hong Kong. We were at the port, and he rejected 7 times. I just happened to have 8 different books. And I just kept handing them notes. As soon as they hand back, you take it. Don't force it back, because whatever you resist persists. So as they're handing back, you take, you hand the next one. They hand back, you hand the next one. And then you see where it stops. Another objection?
Grab the book.
If they don't grab the book, I'll show you a little trick. You can come a little closer, stand on this side. Just right here so everyone can see.
I'm just saying hi, but I'm this person.
Right, hi. And then when I show the book, books on yoga meditation. Now, don't grab it the first time. Books on yoga meditation shows how to get free from stress. I go like this. Look at that. So you grabbed it the second time. It's really funny with the hand. If you learn this little trick, you go here, and then you go like that. They take it the next time. It narrows it down. It's not every time, but it actually gives them a second chance, and it's amazing how many times. When you go the first time, they reject, and you go like that, they go, okay. It keeps you in it. And if they won't take it, then you don't have a ripe fruit. Don't keep going. It's okay. We're not trying to convince every single person. We're just looking for the openings. The opening's not there, move on. It's okay. 3 out of 10, 3 out of 100, no problem. 3 out of 10, and you earn $1 million on a baseball team, at least. 3 out of 10 at bat. It's okay. What other objection? Yes. No, thank you. I'm an atheist. Well, again, it's like if they say no, thank you, I'm an atheist, then you know, you say you if you're feeling a certain energy from people that they're blocking and they don't want to, don't try to sell them. Just let them go. If you see there's an opening, you can ask them a question. So, oh, really? How long have you been an atheist? And you can ask them questions. Whoever's asking the questions is leading the conversation. And then you might find something more about them. Say, oh, you're an atheist. Oh, then have you heard of, like, yoga? This is yoga. This is different. And just like I was going to point out with the mantra, sometimes you say, do you believe in the power of prayer? And they'll say, no, I don't believe in the power of prayer. I say, perfect, here's a mantra. Because it's a certain frame of reference where they hear prayer and they go, Christian, this, that. I don't believe in prayer. And they say, I know, I hear you. Here, your mantra. I give you a mantra. Then they say, okay. So you just package it a little bit different and put it back. Okay, so there's a lot of objection, but the main thing to learn, two things. One is there's an answer to everything. And you just have to learn what all the answers are, because there's a finite number of objections people make. And if you figure out what all the answers are, then you'll move through a lot of the obstacles. But the main principle is honor the objection. Don't block it. Let it come through and say, oh, that's a good objection. I really, and people say, you know, people say, I already have this. And I go, I know, I could tell by looking at you. That's something I say a lot of times that neutralizes the situation and say, I have this. They say, I already gave, or I already give donations somewhere else. I know, I could tell by looking at it. That's why I picked you out. You look like someone who gives a lot of donations. See, that's why I stopped you. You know, I'm agreeing with them, and I'm honoring the objection. Okay, then a couple more things is a last thing, and that is that sometimes you truncate the whole presentation. Learn the whole thing, but sometimes people will agree to it right away. You don't have to go through the whole presentation. So you walk up and say, oh, Bhagavad Gita, yeah, how much is it? Don't start going through Gandhi, it costs us around 10 after shipping and handling and storage and everything like that. And so anything over that's a donation. Just cut to the chase. And if you need to truncate that, that's okay also. Okay? Any last questions? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so many people will say no, and that's okay. Say God no, and say, oh, wow, you believe in God? And they say, yeah, sure. Oh, here, I'll give you this one then. And also with people who reveal right away that they would like to waste the rest of your day by talking about an intense gospel or something like that, that they want to say, that they'll say, you know, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You know, that thing's coming out sometimes. And you can see that they're determined that they would like to take some more of your time. I say I'm a Christian, and that's their objection. I'll say, if we had more people of faith like you in the world, it'd be a better place to live. Thank you for keeping the world afloat. And then I leave it at that, and I go away. But oftentimes, just recently, we were in Toronto, in front of the museum. A person said, I'm a Christian. I switched the book. I said, yeah, it's people of faith like you who are keeping the world afloat. And everything. He bought the Bhagavad Gita because it has to do with my openness. I accepted him. I honored his objection and kept going. Altogether. Sharira vijaja jodendriya taheka jibe pele vishaya sagare tarma jedi vayati loba moesu durmati. Take jeta katita shamsare Krishna bora doyamo kori bare jihaja shaprasarana diloba sheyanamrita pa. Radha Krishna Guna Ga Prime Dako Shri Chaitanya Nita Prime Dako Shri Chaitanya Nita Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnave Swapa Punya Vatam Rajan Vishwaso Navajayate Prasade Sarva Dukanam Hani Rasyo Pajayate Prasanna Chetaso Yashu Bhudipaya Batishtate Bhagavad Shri Mahaprasad Ki Monthly Sankirtan Festival Ki Monthly Sankirtan Festival Team Ki Go Premanande, Nitai Gaura Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaur Hari Bol. Is there prasadam? Please come take prasadam. Hari Bol. Thank you very much, everybody. Now, just after prasadam, we're going to go out just to touch the pavement and see what happens. No expectation, anyone, just come along for the ride and see what happens. And afterwards, we're going to have a fun get-together and talk about what it was like to go out in the world to pass out prasadam, mantras, and meet a few people and show them the books. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.